Is that okay, or do you want to do something else?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. Without him I could do nothing. Without him I surely fail. Without him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Do not turn him away. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. Without him, I would be dying. Without him, I'd be enslaved. Without him, life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Do not turn him away. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. Amen. Anybody have a favor? Yes, sir. 430. Amen. I heard an old story, how Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and cause the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory! beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. Three, six, five. Let's see. We can try. I'm not through it all. I've learned to just. I think we've seen it before.
It's been a while.
It's been a while though.
Through it all.
Mm-hmm.
Should we try? Or?
Do you know that one?
Yes. Trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend on His Word. Okay. Yeah, we can do the chorus, but let's try. Okay. We'll try the song. We'll try it.
Oh, you don't try the song? Okay.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There've been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. I've been to lots of places, and I've seen a lot of faces. There's been times I felt so all alone. But in my lonely hours, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was with His own. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend on His Word. I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that He could solve them. And I'd never know what faith in God can do. Through it all, through through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Amen. We'll have to practice, but yeah, it's a beautiful song. Amen. Yes, sir.
Heard that song sung by Bill Gaither many, many years ago.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
On an 8-track tape my dad
owned. Amen. Yes. Yes. Amen.
The name of the hymn book is Majesty.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one.
Can my voice handle that? Majesty. Okay, number one. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be our glory, power, and praise. Majesty, kingdom authority, flow from His throne unto His own, His anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Amen. Yeah. 2:30. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory. Till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. At the cross I stood one day, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star shed its beam around me. In the cross, be my glory ever. Till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadow o'er me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my wretched soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Amen. Brother Romel, come for our offering. Amen.
Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, for bringing each one of us again to your house. Heavenly Father, we have come, Lord, again to offer you the praise and the worship, Lord, that only you deserve. So, Heavenly Father, we are again as we are thankful that we could worship you.
Ruthie, Sister Ruthie, are you going to sing our special for us? Amen. Come on. Amen.
I got a special hymn that I had heard about when I lived in the state of Tennessee. A friend of mine told me about this song. He couldn't remember much of the words, but somehow I found it in my phone. And I want to sing it to all of you guys and for God mainly. So I'm going to sing the best I can. It's called A Man in Sandals. If you see a man in sandals, send him down my way. 'Cause he might be my savior, he's coming back someday. If you see a man in white, like no one you ever seen before, send him on to me, 'cause that's the man I'm looking for. If you can't remember, ask him what's his name. And if he tell you Jesus, say we are so glad you came, then send him on to me, 'cause that's the man I'm looking for. If you see a man that shines with a love glow on his face, now trust, turn him on to my street so he can find my place, and send him on to me, 'cause that's the man I'm looking for. And if you can't remember, ask him what's his name. And if he tells you Jesus, then tell him that's the man I'm looking for. Amen.
Between now and Wednesday night, I want to do a Bible study to present Wednesday night on about people who are dead. Sounds interesting, huh? And the theme is this: what do the dead know about what's going on here? What kind of knowledge? What does the Bible, if anything, what does it tell us about what the dead people know? We know that whenever a person dies, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And is heaven and its inhabitants, the spirits, the angels, are they so far removed from us here on the earth that they're unconcerned and don't know what's going on here? And how involved are they, the heavenly beings, with earthly beings? We have a lot today, a lot of religions that deal with this. Interrelation between what we call the dead and the living. And what interaction do they have, if any, with one another? And I'm kind of looking forward to doing some research on this and study, and I'll be happy to share what I learned with you Wednesday night. So if the Lord so leads, and God gives you some thoughts on that, be ready to share them in case I miss one or two, okay? And it'll be interesting anyway. Tonight, I want us to go over to Matthew chapter 22, and look at a couple of verses of scripture here. Matthew chapter 22, go down nearly to the end of that chapter to verse 41. Let's drop up and read a little bit earlier than that. Verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he, Jesus, had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying... Now, when he talks about a lawyer in here, the lawyers are not like lawyers that we have today. It was completely different in the sense that the law that they were projecting, representing, was the law of Moses, the Old Testament law. The law that Paul spends so much time talking about, that so many people had put their trust in keeping the law. If I keep the law and I don't break any of the commandments, then I'll go to heaven when I die. But if I break any of the law, then it's hell for me. See? And so Paul was a great one in expounding grace over law. Grace is greater than law. The law says thou shalt and thou shalt not. And the soul that broke that law, they went their way, and those that kept the law, they would go their way. They would go up. Now, so here's the lawyer, and he's going to ask Jesus a question. Now, this is a question that is a temptation for Jesus. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? He wants to know the greatest one, and I think he's in here talking particularly about the Ten Commandments. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's kind of like do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. He says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, look at this. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. Now, Christ here, they're not talking about Jesus Christ here, the one that's asking them this question, okay? Christ is Messiah. Christ was the anointed one who is to come. What do you think about Messiah who is to come? And they say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, he quotes Psalm 110, verse 1 here, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. This question here in verse 42 that Jesus asked is very important. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Now that's a question of tremendous import, isn't it? Eternal issues hang on a person's answer to this question. We're going to talk about a new trial for Jesus tonight, because the first, he had three, you know. Two of them ecclesiastical trials, one before Annas and the other before Joseph Caiaphas. And then they were wanting to put Jesus to death, but under their law, they couldn't do it. They didn't have jurisdiction over the death penalty. So they had to take Jesus finally to the Roman ruler, Pontius Pilate, because he was the only one that could impose the death penalty. There have been many trials, historic trials, down through the years. But without question, the most infamous trial of them all was the trial of Jesus Christ. That's when the Creator was judged by the creature, by the creation. His trial was marked by such unfairness all the way through. It was a miscarriage of justice, if there ever was one. Every rule of law was violated. I'm talking about their law. There have been a lot of books written about the trial of Jesus where expert attorneys have sat down and studied it and have exposed all of the judicial errors that were made during his trial. I don't know if they still do it, but I remember years ago that over in England, students in every law school in England were given an assignment to study the trial of Christ and to pick out all of the irregularities that were involved in that. And I would like for us for just a little while here to look into the scripture and kind of give Jesus a new trial. We'll listen to the evidence that's presented in the Bible record. And we will weigh the evidence and we'll give a verdict. We're going to be fair and impartial as we possibly can, and also take into consideration the credibility of the witnesses who testify in this trial. All right? The first person that we're going to call to give his testimony will be John the Baptist. Okay? Start with John. John, you do solemnly swear that the testimony you shall give in the case now pending before this court shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. John says, yes. So he takes the witness stand. Today, his apparel might not be considered appropriate for court. He's got a raiment of camel's hair. And he's got a leather girdle about his loins. But we're not judging him by the clothes he's wearing. We're going to judge him by what he has to say. John, what do you think about Jesus? And John points over there to the witness stand where Jesus sits on trial. And John says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He goes on to say, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, The same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Now here's the words. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. That's John the Baptist's testimony. John chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. Let's bring up witness number 2. Sir, what is your name? My name is Simon Peter. I was a fisherman. I caught fish for a living out of the Sea of Galilee and sold them. And one day Jesus came by while I was working on my nets, on my boat, and he said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." So me and my brother Andrew left our nets and followed Jesus. Well, you were somewhat of a leader among the apostles, were you not? He said, "I suppose you could call me that." I followed Jesus for 3.5 years. Well, during that 3.5 years, you certainly became familiar with and acquainted with his teachings, and you witnessed his miracles that he performed. What do you think of Christ? Listen to Peter's testimony. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's in Matthew 16, verse 16. Peter's testimony recorded in God's book. Let's call John. He's the brother of James, the son of Zebedee and Salome. He's a man whose business was fishing in the Sea of Galilee, like Peter and Andrew. He's the one who leaned on Jesus' bosom. He's the one that sat next to him at the table. He's the one that speaks of himself as that disciple whom Jesus loved. John, what can you tell us about this man called Christ? He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That's what John believed about Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14. This morning, in our morning message, we spoke about the empty seat, how Thomas was not with the apostles when Jesus came on the day of resurrection. We found this out about Thomas, that his motto was, "Seeing is believing." He's known as Doubting Thomas because he said, "Except I see, I will not believe." Now, he's a man that's certainly not going to rely on hearsay. He ought to make a very reliable witness. Thomas, you too were one of his apostles. You placed your hands in his nail-scarred hand. You put your hand into his riven side. You personally touched that place where the spear had gone into his heart. You were one of his apostles. What say ye of Christ? He says, my Lord and my God. John chapter 20, verse 28. Let's call a fellow by the name of Saul. Saul of Tarsus, will you take the stand and tell us about Jesus? We know that you were not with Jesus during the days of his earthly ministry. But you met him one day. You were on the road to Damascus. And he stepped out of heaven, brighter than the noonday sun. And he convinced you of his identity. What do you say, Paul, about Jesus? And Paul says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That's his testimony about Jesus in Galatians chapter 1, verses 15, 16, and 17. Let's call another witness. Number 6, he's a eunuch. He's a citizen of the country of Ethiopia. He's a man of great authority. His queen Candace has made, she had so much faith in him that she put him in charge of all of her treasure. Let's ask him what he thinks about Jesus. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. His testimony is recorded in Acts 8:37. But we haven't heard from the female group. Let's call Martha to the stand. She's the sister of Mary and Lazarus. Jesus was a guest in their home many, many times. And she was there in the cemetery where her brother Lazarus had been dead and buried for 4 days in a tomb. And let's ask Martha, what do you think of Jesus? And Martha says, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, that should come into the world. That's in John 11, verse 27. Let's call an angel. Gabriel, come up here and tell us about Jesus. He had many friends among the human beings on earth, and he also had friends in heaven. We know that the angels ministered to him at every crisis of his life, from his birth to his resurrection. And Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 2 says that the word spoken by angels is steadfast. So when Gabriel testifies, we can put credence upon what he has to say. So Gabriel, you're sitting there clothed in your white shining garments. And we're calling you as a representative of the heavenly host. We want to hear what you have to tell us about Jesus. He says, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Savior, Christ, Messiah, Lord. His testimony is recorded in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Let's call witness number 9. Pontius Pilate, will you take the witness stand? Your Honor, you were the judge at the civil trial of this man Jesus. You heard the accusations that were brought against him. You examined him publicly and privately in your own chambers. What did your investigation reveal that caused you to sign a death warrant for this man and say to the Jews who had accused him, "Take him and do with him what you will"? And Pilate answers and said, "I have examined him, and I find no fault in this man, nor yet Herod. For I sent him to Herod, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him." That's Pilate's testimony in Luke chapter 23, verse 2. Let's call Judas Iscariot, see what he has to say. Judas, you were one of his apostles. You followed him. You witnessed his power. You witnessed his miracles. In fact, you had been sent forth yourself. But Judas, you sold him. You betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. Why did you do it? What did he do to you that caused you to turn on him? And listen to the words of Judas Iscariot concerning Christ. "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." His testimony is in Matthew 27, verse 4. Now let's call the Roman centurion who was in charge of the Roman soldiers who crucified Jesus on the cross of Calvary, the ones who literally nailed him to his cross. They crowned him with a crown of thorns. They spit on him. They smote him. They plucked out his beard. They put a crown of thorns on his head. Now, Mr. Centurion, You witnessed his actions during his trial. You were with him on the cross for 6 hours, or at the cross. He was the one on it. You were right there. You saw him die. And that Roman centurion, that Roman soldier in charge of the crucifixion, said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." His testimony is recorded in Mark 15, verse 39. Now, I know it's unusual for a convicted felon to testify, but in this case, let's make an exception. Let's question this man and find out why he, who at the first was Jesus' enemy and he railed on him, but all of a sudden he changed. Mr. Thief, surely you'll tell us the truth, because you are on your deathbed. And I know that you don't want to go out into eternity to face God with a lie on your lips. Tell us, what do you think of Jesus, that man that's hanging next to you on that cross? He says, "This man," referring to Jesus, "hath done nothing amiss." Luke 23:41. But wait a minute. All of a sudden there's an interruption from the audience out here. And a demon stands up. And he addresses his remarks to Jesus, sitting up here, you know, in the defendant's chair. And this demon says, "I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." That's in Mark chapter 1, verse 24. "But Mr. Demon, you are only one of many. What do the rest of you think about Jesus? You were cast out of the bodies that you possessed by this man into a herd of swine who ran over a cliff and drowned themselves in the waters of the Sea of Galilee." But first of all, will you give us your name? He says, "Our name is Legion, for we are many." For those of you that don't know, a legion is 6,000. So actually, this man is speaking up for 6,000 demons. Let's ask him, "What do you say about Jesus? Whose son is he?" And he looks at Jesus and says, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" Mark chapter 5, verse 7. We could go on and on, giving testimonies of people who called Jesus the Son of God. But let's go one step higher. And let's conclude our evidence with the testimony of this man's father. His father is the judge of the Supreme Court of the universe. So let's just ask him, Almighty God, who exactly is this person who is claiming to be your only begotten son? He's claiming to be your equal. He says he's God manifest in the flesh. Is he some crazy person suffering under a delusion of grandeur? God, what do you have to say about this man, Jesus? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And he says it not just once, but he repeats it. It's in Matthew 3:17 and Matthew 17, verse 5, if you're keeping notes. That's 14. Seven is the number of perfection, completeness. We've doubled it. So I want you to just gather up, if you will, all of the evidence that you've heard from all of these people, and on the basis of their testimony, as individual members of this court and jury, are you ready to give your verdict about who Jesus is? Now, in presenting this case, you'll notice that we have kept strictly to the biblical record, have we not? Because men are to be judged by what is written in this book. We've not presented any new evidence, though we could have brought before you the testimonies of thousands of the greatest personalities in history. But John has told us that these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. John 20, verse 31. And Jesus says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. That judgment has not come yet, but it will, when we as individuals will stand before God, and one of the questions we will be asked is, what think ye of Christ? Jesus says that you'll have to give an answer. So what is your response just now? How are you persuaded? If you believe that he is the Son of God and God the Son, if you believe that he is the Savior of the world, then why not accept him as your personal Savior? See what I'm talking about? Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. A person passes from death unto life. So Paul wrote in Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's as plain as I know how to make it. And because I believe that, I have the assurance of God's Holy Spirit within my spirit. His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. That when my time comes to be laid beneath the sod, and my soul will go to be with God, because I'm saved through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. My faith is in him, and his grace is sufficient for all who will believe. Remember what I said tonight. Share it with somebody tomorrow, will you? Let's stand together and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Brother David, will you lead us in our benediction tonight? Amen. May the Lord bless you real good.